Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen. Worldwide. Podcasting since 2005. Take it out. You're listening to Gamertag Radio. Back on the scene. With your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Here we go. Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 607. With your host, Danny, and only me. Joining me this week, I have the regular co-host of the show. Let's start with Paris.
Hey, what's up, everybody?
What's going on, man? Welcome back.
Oh, that's right. I was gone. I wasn't on the episode last week, but I always listen. Yeah. Glad to be back. Looking forward to talking about some of these emails and voicemails we got this week.
Definitely, man. And also joining me this week, also Mr. Pete.
What
Rock
is up? What was the question, Pete Rock? What's up, man? I am exhausted, but raid complete. Paris, thank you, and thanks to everybody else that was there with us last night. Was it 4 in the morning? Like 3:34 in the morning. We finished it this morning. Shout out to everybody. Shout out to the raid crew.
And also the horde mode.
You finished horde mode without inviting me. Did level 50 horde mode complete. You want to know what? Now that I think about it, I don't think I've ever completed a full raid, a full horde mode. Like a full level 50, 1 through 50. I don't recall if I have or not.
I tried to play it like insane difficulty. Dude, that is too much. I can't even get to like 10. Wave 10 at all. It's too much.
I don't know. Maybe the just... I don't know if it was the team that we had or the map that we had, but it almost felt like it was too easy. At one point, like it was only two people doing anything. The other two were just running around collecting power.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and that was on normal.
Which one was like your craziest moment out of the whole waves, out of all waves?
I'd say none. It was literally... The only reason I was getting downed on a constant basis is because we had it so locked down, because we had everything funneled into one area with multiple fences and man turrets and shock things, that the only reason I would die is because I would run out to collect stuff, to pick up guns or to ensure that I didn't go around without a death.
Like, wait, what your class is what, soldier? Because I'm a soldier.
It depends. So originally I was running scout, and then I switched because like we were doing it, but we didn't have all five people in a group. It was a couple of randoms, and we ended up going two engineers, two soldiers, and a scout. And then we would just have the scout run around and picking up the cash, because they get more, I think if he was wearing the perk that he gets 20% more power. And so,
Yes.
So it's, okay. I don't know if maybe it was easy because we found the right mix, but I also think that map selection, because we got this one specific map that, I mean, literally at the end, when we got the final boss, it was like a 3-minute run that we did level 50.
Nice.
It was almost too easy. And I don't know if that's just, A, we were on normal with five people who know how to play Gears and just... the option and where we placed our things and turrets and stuff like that. No, but it was a lot of fun. And I have to say, and I mentioned this on Twitter earlier this morning, last night, between beating the horde mode and also going through and finally doing and defeat and beating the Wrath of the Machine raid on Destiny, was probably top three, if not up there, with the most fun I've had in video games like ever. Like, it was that much fun. It was a great opportunity for me to like just drift away from the normal doldrums of life and worries. And I had so much fun, and just, it's one of the reasons why I think online gaming is a great, is a great thing for us. And I'm glad that we're able to do it, because it was great. It was just, I had a lot of fun. It was a good time.
Definitely, man. Well, those are listening. I created, finally, it took me couple weeks to fix the whole issue, but now I created our very own Xbox Live Club. So for those that are, you know, using Xbox Live and would like to play with other gamers that's part of the GTR community, search for Gamertag Radio, and we'll definitely would like to, you know, play with you guys online and everything. So don't know if it works for the PC, that part, but I know for those that have the console, just if you have the latest dashboard update or preview members, cause I believe everybody's going to get this like in a few weeks, but just search for Gamertag Radio and join our club. And also, if you have the PlayStation Network, you could also find us there too, Gamertag Radio. Yeah, man, I think that's a great way for us to play with other GTR community members, man. So, and we, Pete, I think we have to create a game night one of these days in Paris whenever you're free and taking a break from Destiny. I think we should definitely do that. I'm down for that, man.
I'm down. So. I had a really good time last night, so I'm definitely down for more. Hey, ramp up the difficulty maybe too.
Yeah. All right, so head over to GamertagWare.com or play.it/Gamertag and listen to our past episodes. And you also can find us on iTunes, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, and other podcast directories.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it. Send us your feedback or questions. Yep. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right. So, by the way, we have a couple voicemails and emails and so on. But before that, I definitely have to mention this because I had a little debate with our friend Tony. You guys know Tony Polanco, the homie Tony. The homie Tony. We were debating because you know, the MPDs just came out a couple of days ago, and he was like, "Oh, that's dope." You know, Xbox One sold more, sold the most for last month, and he was like, "Look, but I think November is not gonna outsell PlayStation 4 Pro," and I'm like, "Dude, I think it is, man, because, you know, the whole price and we talked about this in the past. Like, I just don't see PlayStation 4 outselling every other console out there. I know the hardcore, definitely going to buy that day one. But I'm surprised, too, that the Slim hasn't been selling a lot, you know? So, I don't know. I personally think that the Slim is going to outsell PlayStation 4 Pro in November, and Xbox One S also is going to outsell the Pro. You know, the majority of people that I know, they're already happy with their console. For those that don't have a console, they're probably going to buy the PlayStation 4 Pro, the PlayStation Slim, just because of the price, you know. So he was arguing with me, saying like, dude, it's gonna outsell everything. I'm like, I don't know. But very quick, I know we talked about this in the past, but do you guys agree with him or not? Very quick, keep it short.
I don't 100% agree. I get where Tony's coming from. Here's what I think. I think combined, if you just look at PlayStation as one SKU, I do think it's probably going to wind up outselling the Xbox One S in November because, like you said, all the hardcore people will run out and get the Pro, and you're still going to have the mom and pops that are going to pick up that Slim. I think part of the reason, like just in general, we've been seeing the Xbox One S outsell the PlayStation Slim here in the last 3 months or so is because that $299 price point for the Slim. I said it when they announced it. I'll say it again. That is the wrong price for that console. It should be $250 or less right now, because at $299, if I'm in the market for a brand new console, I'm getting the One S because it's a better value. It just is. Just the features that you get in the One S compared to that you get to the Slim at the same price, I would go get the Xbox One S. To me, it's a no-brainer. But yeah, I get where Tony's coming from, but like I said, I don't think the Pro by itself will outsell either the PlayStation 4 Slim or the Xbox One S, like you said.
Yeah, I mean, he brought up a lot about power, and let's be real, man. It's only the hardcore audience that knows about that stuff, man. Like, I just don't see the little Johnnies of the world going to the store and like, oh man, look, power. Let me just buy this. No, they're going to buy it because they just want a PlayStation 4. They don't care about the whole 4K thing, you know? The majority of people and gamers, they don't have a 4K TV yet, man. Maybe in a few years, but now, nah, I don't think so. But Pete, you want to say anything else about this before we go to the next topic?
I think I echo I understand the concept or the reason why someone would say something like that. But at this point, I think price is going to be the primary factor for people purchasing. They want to get the most bang for their buck. I will say that the 1S does provide more, in my opinion, simply because of the 4K Blu-ray player that's in there. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, it's up to the consumer, and I really don't care the argument for or against. It's a consumer's market. Let them decide what and how they want to spend their money on it. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
that's all I'll say.
Definitely. So Pete, I know you posted this on our private chat. Red Dead Redemption announcement?
I don't know. But
Rockstar? Is this for real? Is this happening? Like finally?
Not I don't know if it's 100%, but I woke up, checked my Twitter feed, and Rockstar apparently posted just a blanket rock, you know, red piece of, you know, just red with a, you know, a red background with the Rockstar logo dead center in the middle. And right now the internet is going crazy. And I don't know if it's safe to assume that it's Red Dead Redemption confirmed, you know, for, you know, coming soon. I think it's like probably gaming's worst kept secret at this point. Yeah. But it's pretty compelling. It definitely makes you wonder. And, you know,
oh man, I hope that's wait. True, man.
I can't wait.
That last game was so amazing. Minus the multiplayer. I was not a fan of the multiplayer, but the single player campaign was so good, man.
Right.
So amazing. So, okay. All right. So should we go to the voicemails? I think we have a couple here.
Let's do it.
All right. So it's time for fan mail.
Fan mail at gamertagradio.com.
Fan mail.
All right. So let's go with our first voicemail. And this is from Phoenix. Shout out to Phoenix. By the way, Phoenix is going to have a awesome episode for his podcast, The Phoenix Project, coming out very, very soon. You can find him on iTunes and other places too. So subscribe and shout out to Phoenix and the whole crew over there, man.
What's going on, Godfrey, Game Tech Radio crew? This is Phoenix from The Phoenix Podcast. Just calling to give y'all, you know, a think here. I think that The Coalition is the best developer that Microsoft has. I think Gears of War 4 is the best first-party game to launch this generation on Xbox One. That is the reason you should get an Xbox One if you're a fan of Gears. I think it, with no disrespect to 343, I think the Halo 5, I don't think that game is worth bringing in the conversation as far as video games of this console generation so far. The fact that the Coalition pumped this game out in 2 years, and it feels like a Gears game. It moves like a Gears game, and it feels like a natural step forward for the Gears franchise. Again, the Coalition gets high praise from me as a Gears fan from 2006 to now. Missed the franchise. I'm glad that it's back. So I want to know what you guys think. Do you think Gears of War 4 is the premier game, the premier title on the Xbox One? Or first party title, that is, or do you think something else is? Love to hear your feedback. Have a good one.
All right. So he mentioned that this is the first true first party title, best one yet from Microsoft. I kind of agree, but also for those that are also listening, you can't forget about Forza, man. Can't forget about Forza Horizon 3. That to me, still my favorite game out of all games that has been coming out from Xbox, man. But your thoughts, guys?
Well, yeah, and I agree, actually agree with Phoenix, and you know, shout out to him. You know, just side note, you know, him and I are really good friends. But he's right. This, what the Coalition has done with Gears of War 4, to me, this is the first party studio game coming from Xbox or Microsoft that I look at and I go, oh man, I got to play this. I got to have this. If it wasn't on PC, this would be a game where I'd have to consider. I'm like, do I need an Xbox to play this? I probably do. You know what I mean? That's how good this game is. And it's a tribute that Coalition was able to make this game in 2.5 years. And it's so polished and so good. Right. So kudos to them. And like he kind of alluded to before, because full disclosure, him and I have already had this conversation. But when you look at 343, what they've done to the Halo franchise, yeah, they're no longer the top studio for Microsoft. It has become the coalition, in my opinion. And while I do agree with you with Turn 10 and Forza, the Forza franchise has done over the years has been fantastic. Racing is still a niche market. It's not going to appeal to the vast majority of people, right? Despite how good Forza Horizon 3 is, despite how good Forza 6 was, that's just facts. There's a niche market for that, for racers. So, in my opinion, Gears of War 4 is that first mass market appeal showcase title for Xbox, for the Microsoft brand across Xbox, and now the PC. See, this is one thing that I have to keep bringing up. You can go to PC Gamer, you can go to some of the other PC centric, you know, review sites. They are giving mass kudos. Like, this is literally the best PC game of 2016, let alone just a console game. That's how polished, that's how good Gears of War 4 has been so far. So yeah, coalition, keep it up, man. I really look forward to what they do next, because it's, yeah, they've now proven themselves that obviously it's going to be Gears 5, but whatever game they do next, you're going to sit up in your seat and pay attention, because you know you're going to expect quality from it now. Whereas 343, Halo 6, I'm going to be highly skeptical of anything I see, and we know we're going to get a tease for it at E3 next year, but I'm like, eh, you got to show me more, because I didn't like Halo 5, and that's just, it is what it is.
I think the bar's been set really high by what the coalition has done, and I'll admit it, I was wrong. I know leading into Gears, I was kind of like on the fence, but right now I got a fat jug of Gears Kool-Aid right in front of me. And I am unabashedly not afraid to say potential game of the year for sure.
Woo, that's pretty up there, man. Like that.
It is.
Like
and again, I don't care whether it's on console or PC, the experience as a whole, plus the ability for me to be on PC, I was playing with one of the gamers, Def Prime. Me and him were on Def Prime were on PC. Ronell, my friend Funk, and his buddy South, who lives in London, were on console. Seamless experience. No problems whatsoever.
Mm. That's dope, man. I think it's a great time to be a gamer, man, because, you know, I'm having a blast with Forza and Gears. You know, and by the way, Paris, I know you mentioned Turd 10, but actually is Playground Games that worked on the Forza Horizon 3 series.
That wasn't my point. The Forza franchise as a whole is Turd 10. Even though Playground Games, they were the main developer for Forza Horizon 3, it's still a Turd 10 game. Let's not get it twisted.
Oh, of course.
That's my point.
But here's one thing, too. You say it's a niche market, but Forza Horizon 3 was the number one first-party game physical retail in September of 2016, according to the NPD last month. And I believe it sold around 150,000 range.
Oh, it just passed 1 million. I literally just saw that on Twitter and retweeted it. It just passed 1 million. I'm not saying the game doesn't sell. What I'm saying is mass market appeal. If when the Scorpion comes out next year, Forza 7 will not be their showcase game. It will be there at launch, but there's going to be another game that they're going to push as the lead game. That's my point. A racing game, even on the PlayStation side, Gran Turismo will never be the lead showcase game for PlayStation, and neither will Forza, despite both of those franchises being really good, because racing doesn't appeal to everyone. That's my only point.
Scorpion.
Now, here's my question. You know, do you think, you know, I know we talked about this, the whole, you know, the Xbox One and PC, if you buy one copy, is available for both systems and stuff. But how is that helping Microsoft when it comes to sales, in your opinion, having that one game available for the PC and the X and the console?
Because
how that helps?
Because you just open your entire games library to the PC market. But again, they don't give a crap where you play it. They just care that you buy the game. Because whether you buy it on the Windows 10 store, you buy it on the Xbox store, you walk into Best Buy, that still counts as a sale to them. It's still one SKU of software. It just so happens to work on the PC and the Xbox at the same time. So like I said, if anything, they've opened themselves, like Gears 4, you got a ton of PC players with all this positive buzz that will go pick up Gears 4 now and only play it on the PC. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But that counts as a software sale to Microsoft. When the NPDs come out and all that, they're going to show Gears of War 4 digital sales. It's not going to matter that it's on Xbox or on PC. It is a sale for them. So, yeah, it does help them. And again, like I've been saying since Spring Showcase, this is the one advantage Microsoft will always have over Sony. Even if Sony decided to put out PC games, Microsoft owns Windows 10. They are Windows 10. So their games will all, and I'm not going to say always, but they have the advantage of being able to have their PC games perform better than any other developer putting it out there, because they own the software. They are the operating system. So of course it's going to. And that's why the Coalition, in my opinion, was able to pull off what they did with Gears of War 4.
All right, so let's go to the next voicemail.
I like how I said all that. He had no rebuttal, nothing. Just move on.
He's like, let's just move on. Let's move on. Nothing to see here.
Well, yo, let's move on. What do you want me to say?
But right. So Pete's not allowed to answer that?
Pete, you want to say something, Pete?
Nah, just keep it moving.
Go, man.
Keep
it moving. The mic is yours.
No, I've got no argument. Now he's got a good point. And I think he said it well enough that doesn't need to get stomped on or beat the dead horse with it.
Okay, purple.
See,
purple.
In other words, purple. No comment, Paris.
Purple.
Purple. All right.
Danny has no clue what that means.
This
That's
is
hilarious.
Another caller from Pittsburgh. He wants to ask a couple questions there about the Destiny for the PC. Let's hear it. Let's check it out.
What's going on, GTR? This is Eustace from Pittsburgh. First off, congratulations on 600 podcasts. My question for any of you guys is, I wanted to get your opinions on cross-platform play online. Paris was saying something a few weeks ago about Destiny possibly being a Play Anywhere title, or how that would be nice if it came to Xbox Play Anywhere. And I was just wondering more on the PlayStation side of things, because I do play Destiny on PlayStation, and the only reason I have a Plus or Xbox Live membership at this point is for Destiny. And I'm thinking about, since I do most of my gaming on PC that's not a PlayStation exclusive, I'm thinking about canceling both my memberships when they expire in the spring. So I was just wondering if you guys thought there would be a chance of Destiny possibly making it cross-platform play with the PC like they did with Rocket League. And if you thought that that is something, if so, do you think that that's something that they could think about doing in the future? I know they've said something about the PS Pro trying to keep their player base together, because it migrates over to PC at some point mid-generation. So I don't even know if that's a possibility, but I wanted to get your thoughts on that. So appreciate what you guys do. Take it easy. Have a good one.
I would love the opportunity to play cross-plat, especially on Destiny. I think it would lend to the experience and make it way better, as good as it already is. I just don't see the viability from a developer/publisher standpoint. Actually, no, I'll take that back. It's not the developer that's probably going to hiccup that. It's going to be Sony and or Microsoft that puts the kibosh. I just think that takes away an opportunity for them to lose revenue from either Xbox or PlayStation, you know, Xbox Live or PlayStation Plus subscriptions, that if people could just play it on PC and play for free, you know, that's I see a barrier or a monkey wrench to something like that, that would be the only one.
I know I sent you a link there, guys. I don't know if you want to check it out or not, but it's basically Phil Spencer in an interview. He said that later in the future, third parties are eventually going to have games like this and be part of Xbox Play Anywhere. It will happen in time. It all depends once they see how the whole program works. So when they see the success of, you know, like games like Forza and Gears of War, once in the future they see that, they probably will decide to add that and be part of the program, you know, so to sell more games.
No, I see what Phil's saying, and I agree with it. I mean, if you go back to when we talked to Aaron at E3, I mean, he mentioned, yeah, Xbox Anywhere is open to any third party, you know, publisher if they want to take advantage of it. And if Xbox is seeing this boon in sales because of Xbox Anywhere, and they're seeing a PC crowd starting to gravitate more towards picking up Xbox games because of this feature, look, EA ain't doing it. because they got Origin. They will not do it. I just don't see this happening. Activision, maybe. I lean towards no. Ubisoft, you know, it's like you said, it's up in the air. I could see, like, 2K, I totally could see doing this. They have no incentive to not do it, right? Why not? They don't care. You know, if you pick it up on Xbox or you pick it up on PC, you know, you're winning. They don't have this PC online service that they're trying to push on you, right? So I think we'll see publishers like that do something, but the EAs of the world, they're too entrenched in the Origin. They're just not going to do it. And to go back to the whole Destiny question with the crossplay, I don't see Activision. I see Activision kiboshing this before Sony or Microsoft would ever get to the point that they could do that, because Activision is going to want you to pick up. If the Destiny 2 on PC rumors are true, they're probably going to want to push you towards that, because right now you see that there's a clear community on the Xbox. There's a clear community on the PlayStation 4. They're probably going to try and build that same community on the PC, because again, with esports and just competitive gaming, they're probably going to push that version of Destiny 2 to be their competitive side on the for the PvP stuff. So that's just me. What do I know? I don't know nothing. I could be wrong, but in my opinion, that's what I think would happen.
Okay. All right. So I have another email here. This is from Eric. He was like, I was recently a guest on a podcast, and I was able to listen to the episode later and cringe at the sound of my own voice. I live in East Tennessee and have a rather strong Southern accent. I was curious to see if any of the GTR crew has ever experienced this, and if so, how do you get over it? I appreciate the podcast and all the things that you do. GTR has provided me with many hours of listening pleasure. Thanks, Eric. Well, Eric, thanks for the email, man. You know, I think I felt the same way when I first started, but after a while, I was like, you know what? This is me. You know, why change based on that? You know, I think even Paris a long time ago, I found like a very old episode of one of his older podcast shows. I think it was called, was it Uncle Gamer? Was something else before that? I can't quite remember.
What, the old school gamers? That horrible
thing?
The
old school gamers, yeah. So I found it, and Paris recorded this episode, and he sounded like he was like talking super fast and nervous. And I don't know if you also felt that way too, Paris, when you started recording.
Oh yeah, of course. I think everyone goes through that.
Yeah, but I mean, any advice? And you too, Pete, you could join in. And I know you went through this probably in the back in the days. But any advice you could give to Eric?
Here's my advice. Just, I hate the sound of my voice. I always have. I always will. Right. Practice makes perfect as far as just being comfortable doing a podcast. If anything, if you have a Southern accent and, you know, maybe you just don't like the fact that the way it sounds on a mic, who cares? Make that your niche. You know what I mean? It's unique. Yep. It's unique voices that stand out from the crowd versus having the same monotone voice that I'm on. But who cares about that? Be yourself. Just relax. Have confidence in what you're talking about. People are listening to you for the content that you're providing, for the information that they're giving you, not they want to hear if you got this cool sounding voice. You know, if you just be yourself, enjoy what you're doing. Again, and I've said this a million times, you do the podcast because it's fun, right? So if it's fun, who cares what people think about the sound of your voice? They will adapt to it and get used to it, and they will enjoy the content that you're giving them. That's my advice. You know, you can't worry about that. Like I said, every time I listen to every podcast we do, and every time I hear myself talk, I'm like, ugh, but whatever. Yeah, you know, you just deal with it. You just do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, man. Yeah, just have fun with it, man. It's true what Paris said. Like, here's the thing. This people that listen to your podcast from all over the world, and they just love that accent too, because they're so used to hearing their own accent over there and they're part of the country, you know? So like, I know there's a lot of listeners that probably listen to your show all the way from Australia, and they just love that sound, you know? So it's all good.
Yeah. Just be yourself at the end of the day. I don't know if I could say it any better, especially with what Paris says. Paris says he cringes at the sound of his voice, but he's got a really good radio voice, right?
He's like, hey, welcome to Paris Show.
I could go into a much longer story that ties into last night's raid with Khalif and everybody else, but I'm not going to go there with it. But yeah, man, just it's your content. Granted, also understand, guys, he was a guest. It's not his own podcast. He was a guest on the show.
Oh, a guest. My bad. Yeah.
I know. I understand where he's coming from because I remember being the guest on GTR many, many moons ago and then hearing my voice and being like, oh my God, that's what I sound like. You know, and I was like, I don't want to do this again, you know, but that's just a personality thing. And you'll get over that as you hear it more and more. And like, I don't know if I would say I cringe every time I hear my voice, but sometimes I still catch myself like, that's me on the show. people listen to me, you know? So just whenever we catch any of this feedback from any of our listeners and stuff like that, I think it's great. I love it. It's taken a while to get acclimated, get accustomed to hearing yourself. Especially like if I'm in the car on a long drive and I throw on the podcast app and I start listening to shows, and then, you know, obviously ours comes up because, you know, I subscribe and listen to it to support it and just to, you know, practice and take notes and find out where I'm failing and where I think I could have improvement. And you can always find improvement and stuff. And I almost feel uncomfortable when I listen to it in the car because I'm like, why am I listening to my own show? Why am I listening to my own voice? But like Paris said, use your strong Southern accent. Let that be your gift, your tool to get in and to make yourself unique. Because while yes, content is key, having that extra thing on top of everybody else makes it a hell of a lot better and makes it your own. So I think, you know, keep doing that. And that's pretty much it. So,
all right. No, but thanks for the email though, man. All right. So it's time for a sponsor.
Yep. It's time to pay some bills. So let's give a quick shout out over to Mac Weldon. I know we've featured Mac Weldon on the show several times in the past. I don't know about you guys, but I like, And actually the way we were just talking about with Eric, about being unique, one of the things that I do for myself personally to be unique is wearing crazy socks. And no one provides better, crazy, more comfortable socks, in my personal opinion, than Mac Weldon. And I've said it before and I'll say it again. And not just because they're sponsoring the show, but because I truly feel that they do have the premier socks and shirts. I have to say, because their shirts are pretty dope as well in the market. I don't know. I know you guys have gone through the store, Paris and Danny. When you guys use the MacWeldon.com site, what has been your experience?
It's been fantastic. Like I've said before, their customer service is great. The website, just being able to order all the various things that you need, is very easy to use. And again, man, I likes me some underwears. So it's always good going to MacWeldon.
Yeah. And you know what, Pete, speaking about socks, I love the designs. Because, you know, we purchased a couple too, a couple of times now for this year, but I'm loving it. And I love that Pete is always competing with other people. He's always posting his socks on Facebook, like socks of the day and stuff. So that's dope. But Pete, I know we have a promo code, right?
Absolutely. So if you guys want to have really dope socks, and like I've said before, Mac Weldon has the only pair of socks I could put on in the morning. And when I get home from a busy day of work, which entails walking like crazy, they are still up. I don't have to keep pulling them up day after, you know, time after time to keep them up. So if y'all want to have a dope pair of socks or shirts, undershirts, hoodies, sweatpants, they sell it all. Go to MacWeldon.com, put in your order. And then in the promo code, you could put in gamertag and you'll get 20% off your order. So just go to MacWeldon.com, use the code gamertag to get 20% off your order.
All right. And thanks for Mac Weldon sponsoring this week's episode of GTR. All right. So we have another voicemail. This is from all the way from Jacksonville, Florida. Let's play right now.
Hey, good afternoon, Gamertag Radio. This is at Mashimoto in Jacksonville, Florida. Been using VR in the military since 2005. And in the military, we figure out that not all people can genetically handle it, similar to color blindness or a lack of depth perception. But my concern is, will the reviewers out there take this into consideration when they review the product and their own games? All right. Hope to see, hear you guys later. All right. Thanks. Okay, bye.
All right. So he talks about VR. He been trying VR now for a couple of years, especially in the military and stuff. And do you think that once the media start reviewing VR, do you think they're going to review it fairly? Because maybe some of them don't understand the whole VR concept and so on. So what are your thoughts about that? Okay. Anybody?
Sorry.
Well, I talk too much. So it's like, I didn't want to just jump in and say anything.
And I'm there like, anybody going to say anything? No. Just basically, like, once the media start reviewing for example, PlayStation VR just came out. Do you think they're going to review it fairly? Because maybe some of them probably don't understand the whole VR concept. So maybe some of them will get sick while playing and probably based on that alone, they'll review it and give it a low score because of that. You know, do you think they're going to understand it and they review it fairly or not?
At the end of the day, reviews are subjective. And so you have to take them with a grain of salt. It's not going to be for everyone. So you have to sometimes either ignore the reviews or get the common theme going across multiple reviewers. Another key is to also potentially listen to reviewers that you trust and have the same opinions as you, because then those will resonate better with you. It's not for everyone. VR isn't for everyone. I've tried Oculus. The only one I haven't tried is the Vive or the PSVR. But for the most part, I remember us doing the Samsung one over at E3. It depends on the situation. It depends on the content. I'm still not 100% on if me personally, I could sit for an entire entire 2-4 hour experience of VR. For some people, it's them. I know we've said in the past that games like No Man's Sky or like Elite Dangerous or something like that lend really, really well to a game like that. Paris playing Star Trek at E3, you know, and I don't know if he was hesitant going in, but you could tell he was sold on his way out. He was totally digging it.
It all depends on the game design, because when I tried PlayStation VR during the Call of Duty XP event, I got sick. Maybe it was because of the game. Now, I don't blame the VR system. I blame more the design of the game. So it depends on that, in my opinion, I think. But and Paris, when he tried the Star Trek game, he was like fine with it. He was super excited. And it was because it was the experience, the gaming experience, you know? So
well, yeah, I mean, I've talked about it multiple times in the past. Yeah, I mean, I went into it, you know, not 100% sold on it. But yeah, it was fun. Like I said, I had a stupid grin on my face the whole time I was doing it. I mean, it was really good. I'm still not convinced this is a full game, despite what they said when we interviewed them. But, you know, just as a VR experience, as a demo experience, it does show the potential of what VR could be down the road. Now, to answer what he's saying in the voicemail, yeah, I do think people need to understand that VR is not going to work for everyone, because we're humans and we're flawed and we all have different quirks about us. So it's not going to 100% work. I'm not going to 100% have the same experience that Pete's going to have, right? If I'm nearsighted, farsighted, whatever, you know, there's all kind of factors that could come into that, right? But I will say and I've not done PlayStation VR. That is the only one I have not done yet. I've done Vive. I've done Oculus. I've even done the Samsung solution. While I think the technology has potential, I'm still not 100% sold on running out to get a 1.0 product on any of them. I've said it before, I'll say it again. At the earliest, I would get VR would be holiday 2017 when hopefully there's 2.0 products out. Like, we still don't know what Microsoft is going to 100% do with the Scorpion and their VR experience. We don't know if they're going to partner with Oculus or if they're going to have their own thing, right? I'm waiting until I see, quote unquote, that game. I'm waiting. Mm-hmm. I'm not until I see that social experience or that game experience in VR that just 100% sells me on it. I will not run out and spend the money to get VR on any solution. I just think it's too early, because there's still going to be quirks and bugs that need to be fixed. There's going to be new hardware that's going to enhance the experience. Like, imagine when VR is in 4K. That, to me, that's probably going to be when it hits the sweet spot. And we're just not there yet.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it. Take it out. You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
All right, this next email is from Tyler. Hey, Danny, Pete, and Paris. He actually spells your name right. Super psyched for the shout out you gave me on episode 602. It made me feel appreciated that even a new listener is heard in your community and shows you guys are the down-to-earth people that drew me into the podcast. The reason I write today is about your presence in social media, IG, Snapchat, Facebook, as well as the gaming community. I usually am listening to the podcast at work, and sometimes I'll lose a little focus on the podcast while working and miss out on key information like usernames, gamer tags, PSN names, etc. I went to your website looking for those usernames and couldn't find them anywhere. Either I'm just blind, which happens more often than not, or it wasn't there. I could definitely use some advice on where to find some of the crews or communities where you guys game, as my friends list is slowly dwindling down. Friends, jobs, significant others, etc. And I want to play some of the games you guys talk about a lot. Forza Horizon 3, Gears, Destiny on the show. Sorry for being long-winded, but I hope I can hear back from you guys on where to find this information. It'd be greatly appreciated, as I just picked up Rise of Iron today. I'm looking to rekindle my relationship with Destiny. As always, keep up the good work and keep continuing this amazing podcast. Regards, Tyler.
Awesome. Well, thanks, Tyler, for the email. I mean, you can find, I mean, I think we have our information on the website. I think it's just a little bit hard to actually dig and find it. But I think that every time we post an episode of GTR, I always post our Twitter account there on every time I post an episode. And the reason why I do that is because I think Twitter is the one that we use the most out of every other social media website out there. So, I mean, tell me if I'm wrong or not, Pete.
Oh, no, I'm actually looking at the site. It has our Twitter feed. In the about the GTR stuff, it shows, you know, for more information on Godfrey, follow him on Twitter, mm-hmm. you know, and et cetera. It's got it for all three of them. Actually, I'm looking at it now. Got like a pack of hot dogs in the back of my neck. I got to switch out my picture.
Old school pick.
Yeah, man.
You can find us through there, Twitter. And you know what you could also do is just search, through Google, just put, you know, Gamertag Radio, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or anywhere. You'll find us. We're everywhere, you know. But I think personally, me, I use more Twitter than anything else. So, you can follow us anytime, man. Do you guys use Snapchat or no?
I'm off and on Snapchat. I don't know. Maybe I'm just not hip enough for it. Maybe I've just, you know, I'm 43 next month. Oh, wow. I'm 43 next
43?
Month. 43? Oh, wow. That's 2016 is an amazing year. I don't know if that's something that I want, that I'm going to continue using. It's just not for me. I've actually noticed that I've actually started using IG, Instagram a lot less than I used to. It used to be one of my first things that I checked in the morning. Now it's just like, if I check it in the afternoon or in the evening, it's a rarity now. I'm not on it as much as I am on Facebook or Instagram, or I'm sorry, Facebook or Twitter.
Mm. What about you, Paris? What social media you use the most?
Probably Twitter. And my Twitter handle is at vicious696.
Well, you know, because you are verified now, so you know you're
oh, sorry, yeah. Mr. Professional here.
Purple. And then I use Instagram too. I've been using that a lot more. I'm a 42-year-old, gonna be 43 before you, grown ass man from St. Petersburg, Florida. I don't know what the hell Snapchat is. I refuse to learn. I don't know. I don't know how to use it. I don't use Snapchat. And my Facebook is my personal account, like just, you know, for my family and all that kind of stuff. So I don't give that out. And if you Paris. Add me, and I'll say this, if you find me on Facebook and I don't add you back, do not be offended because I'm very picky. I'm just letting you know. But Twitter, you can follow me on that. Instagram, you can follow me on all that good stuff. And am I vicious696 on Instagram? Yeah, I'm vicious696 on Instagram too.
Yeah, and you would never be verified on Snapchat. Just letting you know that.
I don't want to be. Okay.
Yeah, he's already verified on Twitter. Cool don't need it anymore.
I know, right? That's it. Mic drop. He's going to retire from podcasting. Like, that's it, man. Verified.
He's
I'm out.
The pinnacle.
I'm out. It's fun. How was the reaction waking up to that, Paris? You're like, what?
Oh, being verified. Yeah, it was a crazy thing. All of a sudden, I wake up. And, you know, I always check my email first thing, and I look and I see I got an email from Twitter, and it goes, "You've been verified." And I was like, "What?" And I looked, and yeah, I had the little blue check mark. So, no, that's cool. And, you know, Gamertag Radio is verified as well. And, you know, Play.it is verified. And no, it's cool, man. And, you know, I've been a lot of people was reaching out to me saying congrats. I mean, I'm still the same person. Nothing's changed. You know, it's got a blue check mark on Twitter, I guess, you know.
Yeah, Pete, he just shots fire on us, man. He's like,
"Oh no,
like, yeah, you know, CBS and Gamertag Radio and me."
I think the appropriate term, he's just flossing on us.
What am I supposed to say? I can't say. What am I supposed to do? Oh, you guys are a-holes. I don't even know.
That is so good.
See, I wasn't even going to bring the verified thing up. You brought it up. Why am I the one on trial now?
Oh, you forgot too. Destiny is verified. Bungie's verified. Paris, man, you're cool, man. It's awesome. All right. So we have a last voicemail. By the way, Keon is back. Keon is back, and he has a question for you guys about PC. Let's play right now.
Hey, what's going on, Gamertag Radio? I hope all is well for you guys. This is Keon calling from Baltimore. I just had a very quick question for Paris and Pete Rock. I just wanted to know, I was just in a, let's say, nameless store looking at a PC to buy. Now, this PC that I saw, it was already a pre-built PC that had 16 gigs of RAM. It had a 2-terabyte hard drive in it, and it had a GTX 970 graphics card in it. Now, this thing retailed for about $1,400, which isn't necessarily a problem for me. Not that I'm a baller, because I'm not. But I just wanted to know, do you think it's best to get one of these PC gaming PCs already pre-built, or would it be a little cheaper to kind of piece it out on your own? Maybe look up some videos and maybe possibly do it yourself. I'm really not one of those guys that's ever built the PC before, so I will probably need it step by step. But I just wanted to know, in your personal opinion, what would be the best way to go as far as the cheapest and, I guess, more sufficient way on how to get more bang for your buck? Thank you very much, guys, for the hard work. It's always appreciated. I know I say that every time I call, but I say it because I really mean it. And, you know, you guys always make my day just that much better when I listen to the podcast. So with that being said, I hope you guys enjoy your day. Danny, my condolences to you, brother, for, you know, your grandmother. Very, very sorry for your loss. And I really hope that you and Pete are making out okay down there in Florida with the storm. With that being said, you guys take care, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
All right, so any recommendation for Mr. Keon?
Here's my recommendation to Keon, and I'm always happy when I see these, because and I know this will take people out of their comfort zone, but trust me when I say this. Build your own PC. Build your own PC. You can literally watch videos on YouTube showing you how to do it. I'm sure you got a buddy or somewhere locally that knows how to put, because putting the motherboard in is probably the hardest thing, right? But picking out the parts for your PC, getting all those parts together and installing it yourself is so satisfying versus just running out, spending extra money to get a pre-built machine. And then you get exactly what you want versus what some company tells you that you should have. And I know there's things like Origin and all that. My opinion, waste of money. Do it yourself. The PC that I built myself, I always look at it and I get a little twinkle in my eye because I go, that's me. I did that. Those parts are what I wanted it to be, and it works just great. I think you'll have a lot more satisfaction with your computer if you build it yourself, and you will save money. Peter.
I can't disagree more. I mean, I've done it twice now with my son. I've gone through that whole, you know, he has his own Origin PC computer that he got, you know, I want to say about four or five years ago, still running strong, but, you know, he's got that at his mom's house. Here at our house, he has, you know, he's built two of his own computers, and I can't say enough about going through the experience, because it's a functional thing that you can take forward. Who knows? You can, you know, you could do what the guys over at Alienware originally did, which was go from building computers for their friends and themselves to turning that into a market. And if you can get really good at it, I'm not going to say that, you know, within 2 years, you're going to get bought by Dell and make boatloads of money. But it's a skill that you can take moving forward where you're no longer just doing this for yourself. Comes a great responsibility because then you become tech support for your family. But it's not always for people who are technically astute or what have you. Some people just have the gift. Some people just buy it so they don't have to bother dealing with it moving forward and always being responsible for swapping stuff out. Although I will, on the converse, buying a pre-built helps you understand what some of those components are. And some of those things you can swap out. Like you can swap out your video card with little to no concerns or worries about having to redo things. Swapping out or putting in more memory kind of gives you an idea with it and gets you started down the path. So if you've got the disposable income to go ahead and buy one from some of those, you know, those pre-built companies like Origin, Main Gear, Exotic PC is another one, which we reviewed in the past. You know, you'll get a great product. No lie. You're going to typically with those, you're going to get top of the line from A to Z. So you're paying not just for the product, but you're paying also for the ease of mind of knowing that it's going to come done right the first time. Cause that could be the off put for a lot of people where they try to do it themselves and it doesn't work. And then they've got, you know, $1,200 worth of parts just sitting on a shelf collecting dust. But yeah, there's plenty of videos. I think who's the one that you listen to, Paris, on YouTube for PC building? I think Linus does.
Yeah. Linus Tech Tips. That's a really great resource right there. Oh my God. The Hardware Canucks is another good one. I mean, there's a ton of them out there. Matter of fact, if you reach out to us on social media, I can give you plenty of links to them because I bring that up because that's how I learn. That's how I, you know, keep up to date on what's the newest hardware tech techniques, things to do. I watch these guys on YouTube and stuff. And, you know, I read things like Tom's Hardware, you know, all that, you know, to stay up to date and learn. I mean, I know how to build a PC. I've done it for years, but you never stop learning. There's always something new to learn, some new trick to find out. So that's what I do. And like I said, to me, it's a lot more satisfying doing it myself than just walking into Best Buy and getting something pre-built.
All right. Anything else? That's it. I'm going to wrap it up.
That's it.
All right.
So.
All right. So we're going to wrap it up, guys. And we're going to have a brand new episode of Gamertag Radio this Thursday. So be on the lookout. And hopefully we'll find out more about this Rockstar Games tweet and tease. Or we'll get a brand new Red Dead. What's up?
I got a couple things before we go out of here I want to say.
Okay, go for it.
And I put this out there to the listening audience because I'm very curious to what people will say. Hit me up on Twitter, send us a voicemail, email, whatever. I think I'm ready to step out of my comfort zone and start doing YouTube vids or Twitch or something of that nature. So if you guys think that's a good idea, let me know. Let me know what you think GTR should do in front of the camera instead of behind the microphone because I want to do it. I definitely want to do it. We've been talking about it for the longest. I'm putting my name on it. I'm going to publicly hold myself accountable. Like when Fat Paris decided Fat Paris wanted to lose a bunch of weight, I started talking about it in public and that forced me to go do it. So I'm talking this about the video stuff too. I want to do it. As a matter of fact, I'm going to get a chance to go on a YouTube campus this week. I'm going to be up in San Francisco for Secrets. So I'm going to go up to YouTube and see something. And, nice. I think that might be my final push to do it. So I know people have said it to me privately. Hey, you should do something on camera or whatever. So I want to do it. Let me know what you guys think. I'm really curious. I'm scared. S-less. I don't want to curse, but I'm scared. I'm nervous. I'm very nervous. I fully admit that, you know, because I've never really done anything in front of a camera, but I think I should. I think we should. I think all of us should. But I'm going to take the leap of faith and figure out something. So just putting that out there. And yeah, and I probably won't be on next episode, but I got a couple reviews for some things coming up. A couple headset reviews, and I think I got an actual camera review I'm going to do as well. So look for that coming in future episodes too. Okay, I'm done. I'll shut up.
All right. What about you, Pete?
No,
I knew you have a couple of reviews coming up.
I've got a couple. I think Danny, you and I, we still have to do this this Final Fantasy 15 Kingsglaive movie review.
Yes.
So we still have to do that. Mafia 3 coming soon. I got to find a way to fit that within my busy schedule because we got way too much of it. Way too many games. Welcome to too many games season. Call of Duty Modern Warfare Remastered. Been playing that, so hopefully have that for the next show. And if I can fit it in, Duke Nukem 3D 20th Anniversary World Tour on PlayStation. Been playing that as well. So got a lot of things coming down the pike. And Paris, I think that's a great way for us to try to determine if and how that's an avenue for us. I know I've asked my son in the past, you know, because we've talked about it in the background of, oh yeah, we kind of want to do video, but what do we want to do? Right. And while, yeah, it would be great to try to fit what the rest of the world does with video, I think it's best to hear what our community in particular wants, as opposed to trying to do it on our own and maybe it failing on us. Right. So, you know, hopefully we get a good response from the public, you know, from our community, so we could try to, you know, tailor it towards what our community wants. And, you know, I think that'll help it succeed, if anything.
Agreed.
All right. And I'm going to still be using the old school model with tapes and CDs. And it's all good. All right. So head over to gamertagradio.com or play.it/gamertag and listen to our past episodes. And you can find us there, or go to iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, and all the podcast directories.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
Until next time, we're out. Peace.
Listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.